الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد. Respected listeners, brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As it was just mentioned here, that inshallah, I hope to discuss the topic of Muslim manners every day from around 6:30 p.m. I know we are delayed today, and I have started a bit late due to some one or two technical things that I was not aware of, and I had to actually get familiar with. What I want to do, dear brothers and sisters and listeners, is that I want to talk about this topic, which is a very important topic, but in light of a book, which is actually in Arabic, but has also been translated into English. The book is called in Arabic, Min Adab al-Islam. For those of you who can read Arabic and know Arabic, the book is called Min Adab al-Islam. Literally, the translation of that is, literal translation is, from the etiquette or from the adab, from the manners of Islam. However, the English translation, which is also available, I believe, in the bookshops around the country, around UK, and also in Leicester, is titled Muslim Manners. The book that is available in English, is called Muslim Manners. The author is a famous, renowned scholar of the, late scholar who passed away around 10, 12 years ago, a famous alim, a famous scholar of hadith, who was actually originally from Syria and then moved on to Saudi Arabia, called Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah ta'ala. May Allah have mercy on him. May Allah illuminate his grave. May Allah enter him into paradise. And all of us, Allah forgive us as well. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So this is the book that I'm going to inshallah teach. And what I want to do is, I want to go through this book line by line, reading the Arabic text and then translating it. I'm trying to explain it as well, so that we understand and learn. It's an amazing book. It's a small booklet. It's a very small booklet. And I hope to complete this book, inshallah, by the end of Ramadan. I hope to complete by the end of Ramadan. So it's a very small, short, brief booklet, but it encompasses in it oceans of knowledge and oceans of wisdom and oceans of guidance. Seriously, it's a unique book. And I'm actually teaching this book for the third time. I've read this book many times on my own, but teaching it as well as the third time, I actually taught this book once in a mosque here in Leicester, in Ramadan, I think a couple of years ago. And then in another city in England, in Manchester, I actually taught this to a group of students, whole course where we went through this book. And this is the third time. And the reason being is that even if I repeat it, and if we repeat it, and we keep reading this book over and over again, because the first time when I came across this book, the first time I read this book, I was just absolutely amazed. I was just, subhanAllah, I was really amazed with the content, points and discussions, points being discussed that were unique, where I could not find anywhere else. Some of these things might seem to you that they are trivial, but seriously, ponder over these issues, reflect over them, think about them, and then inshallah, practice upon them, implement them in your lives. Unique issues and unique things have been covered. So the book is called Adab al-Islam. You know, if I just tell you briefly, this book is, it's about, you know, the basic Muslim manners. So it talks about how a Muslim should, first of all, kind of, actually even dress, how a Muslim should look, how a Muslim should dress, about cleanliness, about purity. And then issues such as when you go to somebody's house, how you should knock, where you should stand, where you should look, when you enter somebody's house, or when you open a door, how to open a door, how to close a door, how to shut a door, how not to bang hard on the door, how to knock on somebody's house, about the issue of salam and greeting, the etiquettes, the manners, the mannerism and the etiquettes and the rules of greeting, when you make salam to someone, when you don't make salam to someone, how you should say salam, even within your house, when people are resting in your rooms, when you should enter, when you should not enter, when can you enter, when can't you enter, knocking, as I said, knocking and ringing. And also, I will talk about things about the etiquette and the adabs of mobile phones, using a phone, calling someone, when to call, right time to call, appointments. Is it good to just, you know, these are basic issues that make a human being a human being. Before even we are a Muslim, even before we are Muslims, we need to be human beings. These are just basic, absolute basic fundamental aspects of our lives. Things like, you know, manners of visiting, when you visit somebody's house, you don't just call like any time in the middle of the night, for example, or late at night, or when it's eating time, lunch time, dinner time, when not to phone when people are eating, for example, busy in whatever they are busy with. When you enter somebody's house, how you should remove your shoes and how you should put them and place them, about choosing a seat, where you should sit when you go to somebody's house, don't just sit anywhere and everywhere, ask them to, you know, let them first tell you where to sit, not staying there for too long. And then issues of about greeting, as I said, salam, and then about how you should, if you want to talk in secret with someone, how you should talk, eavesdropping, respecting the elders and the people of respect, how the etiquettes and the manners with the people of knowledge, the etiquettes and the rules and etiquettes and the manners of dealing with the scholars, the ulama, the huffaz, the people of knowledge, the people of wisdom, with parents, adab and etiquettes with one's parents. I'm just briefly looking at this book. This is just an overview, yeah? It's just an absolute overview of these issues. Things like, as I said, parents. What else is there in this book? Duties of the host. When somebody visits you in your house, and what are the duties of the host? What are the rights of the guest? Visiting the sick, the rules and etiquettes and the manners of visiting the sick. Quite detailed. Some of the issues are very detailed. Expressing one's condolences, the etiquettes and the adab, the manners of expressing condolences. The manners and adab of conversation, the art of listening, the manners of listening to someone, you know, giving people time to speak and not just yapping away and not letting other people talk, cutting people off in the midst of the conversation. What else is here? Advice to the specific advice to the sisters, and also wedding manners, the etiquettes, the adab of wedding, and about janaza, funeral, and so on and so forth. So, brothers and sisters, as you can imagine, this is a very unique book. It's a very comprehensive despite it being a very short, very brief, a concise book, but it's very comprehensive, very comprehensive. As we say in Arabic, they say al-jami' wal-mani', it's comprehensive, encompassing, yet very brief and short and concise. It's an absolute amazing, wonderful book, and it's a small booklet, you could say it's a booklet. As I said again, the title of this book, in Arabic, because I have the Arabic version in front of me, and what I'm going to do is, insha'Allah ta'ala, read line by line. I'm not just going to just keep this, as I remember that previously, last year in Radio Ramadan, I was going through a book which was actually an English book. And I used to actually just keep that in front of me and discuss issues and base my discourse on that book. But this time, inshallah, is going to be different, because this time I've chosen the Arabic version of the book, and I want to, inshallah, read through every single line and paragraph, and then, inshallah, translate it and explain it, and then enlighten ourselves upon the issues that are being discussed in the book. So once again, the book is called Min Adab al-Islam. It's in Arabic. For those of you who know Arabic, inshallah, purchase this book. I mean, you can probably get it online from somewhere. There are a lot of students of knowledge who know Arabic. Some of them actually do have this book, because when I first did teach this book, some of them purchased it. It's called Min Adab al-Islam. And in English, the translation, which inshallah should be available in some of the bookshops here in Leicester and maybe around the country as well, and maybe if you're listening on the internet, maybe wherever you are, it's called Muslim Manners. Once again, the author's name is Fadilat al-Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah ta'ala. And I will briefly talk about him, inshallah, just a brief biography about him. His name is Fadilat al-Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. He's passed away about 10 odd years ago. Originally a Syrian alim, scholar of hadith, and then later on he moved on to Saudi Arabia, which we say of Hijaz, and then he passed away there. Okay, now before starting this book, dear listeners, I want to introduce the subject to you. Introducing the subject is actually very important before reading and studying any book. The introduction is sometimes, and not just sometimes, maybe all the time, the introduction is as important, if not more, than the actual book. Any topic, any subject, any science, any issue that you take up, be it hadith book, be it a book of tafsir of the Quran, be it a book on Islamic jurisprudence, be it a book on Islamic history, introducing the subject and the introduction to the book is absolutely vital, necessary and compulsory. Without the introduction, without an intro, it's actually difficult to, you know, understand the book. So I think we need to pay a lot of emphasis on the introduction, and this is the reason why today, inshallah, we have to iftar. It's coming to about 7 o'clock. I mean, I should have started at 6:30, but inshallah, from tomorrow, we'll start at 6:30, and iftar is around 7:53 here in Leicester. So I want to stop at least a few minutes before iftar for giving you the opportunity to make some dua, inshallah. I want to introduce the subject, and maybe today the whole session will probably just go and will just be utilized in introducing this topic. The whole hour will be in introducing the subject. What is this subject, inshallah? This subject is called Adab. As we said, the book is Min Adab al-Islam, Muslim Manners. So in Arabic, we have a word that is called Adab. Remember, brothers and sisters, this is an Arabic word. We use it sometimes in Urdu as well, or whichever language it may also be used in. But in actual fact, this is an Arabic word, an Arabic term. Al-adab. Al-adab. The plural of this word is al-adab. Right? Adab is the singular, and the plural of the word is adab. Al-adab wa jam'uhu adabun. So this is the word, the term. Now, literally, linguistically, they say al-adabu lughatan ma'khudun min al-adabi. Al-adabu lughatan ma'khudun min al-adabi. وهو الدعاء إلى الطعام ومنه المأدبة ومنه المأدبة أو مأدبة لأنه يدعى إليها القوم. What this means is that this word al-adab is in the Arabic language, literally it is derived from another word which is adab. The difference between it is that in the first instance we had the fatha on the dal, adab. In the second instance is adb, the sukun on the dal. It's taken and derived from that root word adb. And adb actually means, in reality, literally speaking, it means inviting people towards food. Inviting people for a da'wah, for food, for a food invitation. Okay, to a banquet, to a meal. And this is the reason why, a meal or a banquet or a dinner to which many people have been invited in the Arabic language is called ma'duba. Ma'duba, again from the word adab. It's called ma'duba in the Arabic language. You know, the Arabic language, subhanAllah, is just a unique language. And you don't get any other language like the Arabic language, seriously, brothers and sisters. Just one thing. You know, the different types of food invitations, sorry, the different types of meals we have, there are different names. Okay, in English we have lunch, dinner, supper, breakfast. It's just the timings, right? It's in the morning, evening, afternoon, lunch, dinner. It's just the timings. In the Arabic language, there are numerous terms for the different occasions, not timings, different occasions and different reasons because of which that food is taken. Like, for example, we all know walima. A walima is just one, it's one word, one term for one type of food, one type of meal, one type of banquet, one type of invitation to a meal. So they say al-walima tu ta'amun, or al-walima is a food, or it's something that is, it's a term that is used when people are invited for a food after a marriage celebration. You know walima. Walima is an Arabic word. It's not a Gujarati or Urdu or some other kind of word. It's an Arabic word. Al-walima. So the Arabs had this. The Arabs, you know, they have unique. It's an Arabic language. It's a unique language. So the Arabs had different terms and different names for different types of meals. So walima, as I said, for marriage celebration meal. They said aqiqah is a term that's used for a meal invitation, for a meal that is taken after, and to which people are invited after the birth of a child. Aqiqah. So we have walima for marriage, aqiqah for the birth of a child. And the list goes on. There's quite a few. I just can't remember all of them right now. There's walima, there's aqiqah, there are quite a few other terms. And one term is also ma'duba. And they say ma'duba is a kind of meal which is encompassing. It's like, it's something where it's for anything and everything. So any meal and any food invitation where many people are invited, but the main part or the most important element in this term ma'duba is that a lot of people are invited. So if you have a meal, if you invite hundreds of people for food at your house, then that type of meal is, in the Arabic language, is called ma'duba. It has the meaning of ijtima' in it. It has the meaning of gathering in it, where a lot of people, good 20, 30, 40 people, many people have gathered for food. Many people have been invited for food. So a meal to which many people are invited is called ma'duba, right? Many people. And also, so listen to this carefully again, let me recap. There's two things which are important in this ma'duba. As I said, there are different words used for different types of meals. And we have walima, we have aqiqa, and we have ma'duba. In ma'duba, there's two important elements in ma'duba. One is that many people are invited. Remember this, number one, many people are invited. And number two, there are many different types of food presented. You know, you go to somebody's house for meal, and they cook like 9-10 dishes. You have chicken, and you have biryani, and then you have samosas, and you have pastries, and then you have... I know everybody is really hungry right now, I don't want to carry on with the list. Just maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, so I won't carry on with the list. But sometimes you go to somebody's house, there's just one item on the dastarkhan, on the ma'idah. And that's actually good. I prefer, personally, when you have only one thing or two things, you eat one thing, you eat it properly, and that's it. When you have about 10 things, you don't know which one to eat. Yeah, it's true. You don't know which one. You try this one, and you try that one, and you try this one, and then your whole digestive system goes bad. And then, so it's best to always just have one or two items, eat them properly. Just one item and eat it properly. But anyway, ma'duba is a meal in which many different items of food have been presented. So, to sum up, ma'duba is a invitation to a meal where you have two things. Number one, many people, remember the word many. Many people have been invited. And number two, many different types of food. In other words, it has the meaning of kathra, abundance. Many people, many different types of food items. So it has this part of kathra, this excessiveness in it. Now why is adab, and what has adab got a connection with ma'duba? Inshallah, keep this in mind, this part, this element, that many excessiveness, many different people have been invited, and a lot of people have been invited, and many different types of food have been presented, and different items of food have been presented. Therefore, there's a connection in the word adab as well. Inshallah, after the break, I'll come back and we'll explain, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome back to Radio Ramadan on 87.7 FM and also on the internet on fmo.org.uk. Before carrying on, inshallah, I just want to say that if my voice does sound quite deep, then inshallah it's, and also the other presenters, it's actually there's some technical problem that we have. Inshallah, people are looking to fix this, and hopefully once it gets fixed, then things will sound better. So it's just a small technical problem. Hopefully the message is getting across to you, but it's a small technical problem that inshallah should be sorted out. So, as you may remember, that I was talking about adab. Adab, jam'uhu adab. Adab is a word in Arabic. The plural of it is adab. And linguistically, literally, it has the meaning of kathra, the meaning of excessiveness in it. Literally, linguistically, it has the meaning of excessiveness in it, kathra. And this is the reason why the same word, from the same root word adab, there is a word called ma'duba, which means a meal or a banquet for which a lot of people have been invited, and in which a lot of many different types of food items have been presented. Why? Because this maduba, this, you see, you remember the root word, you remember the letters in there. Okay, adab has alif, dal, ba. Okay, the main two words here is dal and ba. Maduba as well has dal and ba. So in it, this kind of root word has this meaning of excessiveness in it. So maduba is a meal in which there's excessive people invited and excessive food items presented and provided. So adab has excessiveness in it. Now why is adab called adab? And why does it have this excessive, what kind of excessiveness does it have in it? The ulama mentioned that because adab technically is a word in which excessive amounts of good things are included. See, there's no one word that can translate the word adab. I mean, that's with the Arabic language anyway. There are words in the Arabic language, as I said, subhanAllah. Arabic language is unique, right? It's absolutely unique. And there are many words that we are not able to translate, like the word taqwa. We sometimes say the fear of Allah, we say God consciousness, we say the abstaining from sins, we say refraining from sins, we say having excessive fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things like that. It means all of those things and much more. Taqwa is a word that it's impossible to translate in the English language. Taqwa is a word that it is impossible for us to translate into the English language. We can't translate the word taqwa with one word. There are many words like that in the Arabic language. And adab is also a word. Adab is also one of those words that we are not able to translate into the English language. We sometimes, in Urdu, we say adab, you know, they say adab karo. Adab, respect. It's not respect. It's not only respect. Respect is maybe like 2%, maybe even less, of the meanings of the word adab. It includes respect, no doubt, but it doesn't suffice with respect. Respecting your elders, your parents, your teachers, your relatives, whatever. But in the Urdu terminology, for example, people use the word adab for respect. But in Arabic, it has a much more wider application. It encompasses much more than just respect. And this is the reason why I mentioned the linguistic aspect of the word adab. The linguistic element in the word adab is excessiveness. The linguistic element of the word adab is excessiveness. And technically, istilahan, according to the Islamic understanding, adab is a term, it's a word which includes, which encompasses, like the Arabic, some of the ulama said, الأدب كلمة تجمع خصال الخير كلها. الأدب كلمة تجمع خصال الخير كلها. خصال الخير كلها. الأدب كلمة تجمع خصال الخير كلها. أدب is a word, it's a phrase, it's a term. This is a translation of that Arabic word I've just said. Adab is a word or a phrase or a term that encompasses all good qualities and attributes and characteristics and traits. جَامِعًا لِلْأَخْلَاقِ الْكَرِيمَةِ وَالْفَضَائِلِ قَوْلًا وَفَعْلًا. It's a word that encompasses, consists of, comprises, entails in it, includes. It's a word that encompasses every good trait, every good quality, every good characteristic, every good act, whether it's qawlan, verbally, verbal, fa'lan, wa fa'lan, or it's an action. So adab is something, it's a word. So let's see. Adab, every good thing, you know, if, basic acts of courtesy. You greet someone, it's part of the word adab. You are gentle towards someone, it's part of being part of the whole adab thing. You are polite towards somebody. You respect someone. You give someone something out of generosity. So generosity is part of adab. Gentleness is part of adab. Politeness is part of adab. Respect is part of adab. Showing mercy and rahmah to someone is part of adab. Good character is part of adab. Good akhlaq and good manners, they are part of adab. So this is what adab means. So I hope people have understood what adab means in the Arabic context. Adab basically means that a person inculcates in himself or herself all the good qualities, all the good traits, all the good characteristics, and avoids all the bad evil traits and characteristics. So this is what adab is, brothers and sisters, subhanAllah. Now adab is very important. For a Muslim, adab and adab, good manners, mannerism, manners are very important. And this is the reason why there are books, I mean, this is a small booklet, but there are certain books exclusively written on this subject. Many of you may know the famous book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Imam Al-Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know Imam Al-Bukhari. Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah wa radiya anhu, Allah have mercy on him, Allah be pleased with him. One of the gems of this ummah, one of the great scholars of our ummah. The famous Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. His famous collection of hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari. His book, collection of hadith, known as As-Sahhu. You know, his book is referred to as As-Sahhu kitabin ba'da kitabillah. As-Sahhu kitabin ma'ala kitabillah, the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a collection of hadith. We all know, you know, we know the Quran, and after that, most of the Muslims have heard of Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Now, Imam al-Bukhari, remember his name was Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari. That's his name. We know the book that he wrote is also called Bukhari, but that's not really the name of the book. We normally just, commonly we know his book by Bukhari. You know, they would say, oh, do you know a hadith which is in Bukhari? But Bukhari was the author, Imam al-Bukhari. rahimahullah. And the book, the collection of ahadith, was not known as Bukhari. It's another name, Al-Jami'u al-Sahih. And it's actually a full name, Al-Jami'u al-Musnad al-Sahih al-Mukhtasar min umuri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sunanihi wa ayyamihi. But the short name, Al-Jami'u al-Sahih. So it's the Sahih, Al-Jami'u al-Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. It's the Al-Jami'u al-Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. Okay? So, that was the author. The author's name is Imam al-Bukhari. And he never just sufficed with that one book. He authored many other books. We just know one book of his, because it's the most important book that he wrote, rightly so. We only know one of his books. But this great imam, this great scholar of hadith, this great individual of our Islamic history, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, he never only authored or compiled just one book. He authored other books as well. And, I mean, like, for example, Tariq al-Kabir, he wrote a book in Tariq, in history, Islamic history, and some other books. But from amongst the books that he authored a book which is called Al-Adab al-Mufrad. What is it called? Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Mufrad in Arabic means, it's from the word afrada yufridu ifradan, which means to separate something, singular, something being single. Okay? That's why we have, you know, the different types of Hajj. Those of you who've been Hajj, you know, we have Hajj Tamaddu', and then we have Hajj al-Qiran. And what do we have? We have Hajj Ifrad. Okay? Why is Hajj Ifrad called Ifrad? Because it's only Hajj you are doing. It's singular. You're not doing, a person is not intending to offer Umrah and Hajj together. If you are doing Hajj and Umrah both, if you are doing both, then either you are doing it tamattu'an or qiranan. Either it's tamattu' in wherein a person intends to perform Umrah and then come out of the state of Ihram and then re-enter once again the state of Ihram and then perform his Hajj. Okay? And Qiran is when a person with one state of Ihram starts the Umrah and then also offers the Hajj with that same Ihram. But both these two types of Hajj, Qiran and Tamaddu', both of these two are similar in a sense that in both you are doing Umrah and Hajj. A person is intending to offer and perform both Umrah as well as Hajj. Whereas Hajj al-Ifrad, the term Ifrad, I-F-R-A-D in English if you want. I-F-R-A-D, Ifrad, a person intends to only perform Hajj and no Umrah. So that's what Ifrad, from the word Afrada Yufridu, something being singular by itself. So Imam al-Bukhari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, Allahu Akbar, he wrote a book called Al-Adab al-Mufrad, which means Adab separated, pinpointed, singled out. Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Adab has been singled out. Why did he use that title for his book? He used it because there are many hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many hadith on many topics. His book Sahih al-Bukhari, Al-Jami' al-Sahih, there are hadiths, narrations, prophetic statements regarding many different areas of our lives. You know, you pick up Sahih al-Bukhari, there are hadiths to do with purity, purification, tahara, ghusl, about business, about trade, about nikah, about marriage, about divorce, about inheritance, about fasting, about hajj, about zakat, about umrah, about everything and anything. And there's a chapter about adab as well, etiquettes. Normally we translate, you see, brothers and sisters, the closest translation and the closest you can get in English with a word that is that you can translate the word adab with is etiquette. Al-adab, adab. So when we say adab in Arabic, you say Islamic etiquettes, etiquettes. Etiquettes of sleeping, etiquettes of drinking, etiquettes of conversation, etiquettes of such, and etiquettes of that and this and that. But still, etiquette, it does not really do justice, as I just said, I mentioned to you earlier on. There's no one word that is fit enough to translate this word, adab and adab. Anyway, going back to this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Now, Imam al-Bukhari, radiallahu anhu, he wrote a book, he compiled a book exclusively dealing exclusively with the ahadith of adab. So this is the reason why he called it Adab al-Mufrad. And that book is actually, it's absolutely amazing, it's fundamental. You should buy that book as well. He separated adab. It's just hadiths. Hadiths of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you pick up that book, you know, he has the first chapter section with adab and etiquettes in relation to one's parents. Right? So how you should deal with your mother, your father, your parents, and being good to them, and regarding the verse of the Quran, Allah says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. We have enjoined upon man to be good towards his parents, etc., etc. And then he has different sections. All the hadith and the sayings of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dealing with adab. And that book of his is also available in English, being translated into English. Different translations are available, some are good, some are not very good, some are really good. So just make sure you buy the good translations. You know, there are different versions, different prints. It's a very famous book, Adab al-Mufrad. Reason being, why did he write this book? Because it's an important subject. Separate books have been written on this topic, on adab, on adab, on Islamic etiquettes, on Islamic manners. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in one hadith, he says, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. That my Lord taught me adab excellently. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself taught the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adab and etiquette and adab. Imagine if you have a teacher teaching you something and you have a brilliant teacher, then you inshallah will benefit from that teacher. Okay? If you have a really good teacher, then you'll benefit from that teacher. Imagine the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was taught by who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. My Lord taught me adab. And that's why we see the akhlaq of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says regarding him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Messenger, you are on the highest level of good character. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. The only reason Allah sent me was to perfect noble character. Seriously, this is one of the main parts of our deen, is to be a good person, good human being. That's one of the most important elements of our deen, one of the most important elements of our deen, which is to be a good Muslim, have good character, good behavior around you. And this is what adab is. One of the poets or one of the proverbs in Arabic language is, الدين كله أدابه. الدين كله آدابه. دين, our religion Islam, all of it is adab. All of our religion is nothing but adab. And one of them said, التصوف كلها آداب. فمن زاد عليك بالآداب زاد عليك بالتصوف. التصوف كلها آداب. فمن زاد عليك بالآداب زاد عليك بالتصوف. أو فمن زاد عليك بالتصوف زاد عليك بالآداب. You know, Islamic spirituality is nothing but adab, good manners, good mannerism, good etiquettes. All of it is nothing but good akhlaq. Whoever excels in good etiquettes and good manners excels in Islamic spirituality. And we have forgotten this aspect of adab today, brothers and sisters. We unfortunately think, many of us, that Islam is just about dressing like a Muslim and offering our prayers. That's it. Where is this element of adab and etiquettes and manners and having a good akhlaq and good character? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ, this is in the Sunnah of Imam al-Tirmidhi. Sayyiduna Abu al-Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. Nothing, there is nothing that will hold more weight. There is nothing that will hold more weight in the scale of a believer, في ميزان المؤمن, on the day of judgment, than good character. حسن الخلق. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, in a hadith which is related and recorded by Imam Abu Dawood, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن المؤمن ليدرك بحسن خلقه درجة الصائم القائم. SubhanAllah, this is such an amazing hadith and relevant to the month of Ramadan. What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَيُدْرِكُ بِحُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ دَرَجَةَ الصَّائِمِ الْقَائِمِ. Indeed, a believer is able to attain and obtain and achieve with his good character, with her good character, is able to achieve with their good character the level and the position and the rank of the one who is fasting and the one who is offering Qiyam al-Layl at night and Tahajjud Salah at night. SubhanAllah. In Ramadan, we all know how important fasting is. Fasting, there are many merits and many, you know, many virtues for fasting. There are many, many virtues of fasting. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions about fasting that Allah relating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah said, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Fasting is for me and I shall reward you myself. There are many meanings, different meanings for this hadith. But the point here is, in this month of Ramadan, if a person wants to attain the high position people of fasting have, if he wants or if she wants to attain the reward of fasting and the reward of long rak'ahs of tahajjud and qiyam al-layl and prayer and salat at night, then according to the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person can attain that level with their good character. I'm not making this up. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَيُدْرِكْ بِحُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ دَرَجَةَ الصَّائِمَ الْقَائِمِ. A Muslim, a believer with his good character. What is good character? Just being gentle, being polite, not being rude, not being offensive, not slandering, not swearing. Especially in the month of Ramadan, it's so important. You don't swear, you don't slander. Because it takes away all the rewards of your fast. fasting is really actually from not utilizing one's tongue in an offensive way. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ إِنَّمَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. Fasting is not abstaining and staying away from just food and drink. The real fast is the one who stays away from the sins of the tongue. The one who stays away, who fasts from sinful and obscene and rude and slanderous talk from with the tongue. So the tongue is very important that we safeguard, and it's part of this adab and this etiquette that we're talking about. So this is another hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's a bit more to say inshallah. So we'll have a short break, and then I'll come back for just for 10-15 minutes before iftar inshallah. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear distance brothers and sisters, to FMO Radio Ramadan. Carrying on, inshallah, and concluding my talk today and my discourse today on the topic of Islamic manners and Islamic etiquettes and Muslim manners, adab and adab that we've been discussing and talking about since around just after 6:30. I talked about the meaning of the word adab, the plural of it, which is adab, how important it is, what it means, and then how important it is. It means every good trait, every good character, every good action, every good statement, everything good that you do in your life. Every good action or every good statement, anything good you do with your hands, with your body, any good action or anything good you say is part of adab. Anything good you do to anyone, whether it's your parents, your children, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your relatives, your cousins, human Muslims, non-Muslims, humans, animals, anything good a person does is part of adab. And our deen, religion of Islam, is nothing but adab. It's based on adab. And there are different areas of adab. Okay? Even the way we talk, when we look at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he's filled with adab in his life. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a hadith in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi from Sayyidun Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشا ولا متفحشا ولا لعانا ليس بفضل ولا غليظ. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was not foul mouth. He was not aggressive. He was not somebody who would curse others. He was not harsh. ليس بفضل, and he was not rude in the way he spoke. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not rude. People were rude to him. The Bedouins and the pagan Arabs were rude to him. But he never returned their rudeness, with rudeness from himself. He would be good to them. And this is what Allah says in the Quran to us, that you do idfa' bisayyi' al-hasana. You return bad with good, and that's what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like. We look at his biography, the seer of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kana alyana an-nas, he was the most soft of people. He was very soft. Bassaman dhahakan, he would always smile, he would always laugh. He would have mercy and rahmah in his heart. He was always merciful. And Allah addresses the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran and says to him, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّلَ غَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. You are very merciful. This is because of the mercy of Allah that you are very gentle to the people around you, O Messenger. Had you been harsh-hearted, had you been hard and difficult and aggressive, people would have left you. And seriously, if you are aggressive, brother and sister, you know, if you are nice and loving and merciful to people around you, automatically people will love you. And if you are aggressive and harsh and reserved. People will just naturally, people won't like you. Seriously. Some people have a major problem of being reserved. Even bringing a smile to their face is like a mission for them. It's so easy. What are you going to lose? There's nothing to lose. Just smile. It's an act of charity. Seriously. Jalil ibn Abdullah al-Bajli radiallahu anhu used to say in hadith, مَا حَجَبَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُنْدُ أَسْلَمْتُ وَلَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَمَ فِي وَجْهِ. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, since I became a believer, a Muslim, he never put a barrier between myself and himself. وَلَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِ. And never did he see me except he smiled in my face. SubhanAllah. Just imagine. Imagine this Sahabi saying that every time the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me, he had a smile in his face. Amazing. Can anybody do that today? I don't think so. Can I do it? I don't think so. Can you do it? Imagine always being, you know, jolly and gentle. I mean, sometimes people overdo it. That's wrong as well, okay? You know, to overdo, just always taking nothing seriously and just always just joking around and always just jokes. That's not good as well. You need to have a bit of self-respect and you need to get the balance right. So you need to be serious sometimes, but at the same time, you can have self-respect, but at the same time, be very, very affectionate and very, very merciful and not aggressive and not reserved. إِنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلَقٍ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that from the acts, righteous acts, from good righteous acts, is that you meet your fellow Muslim brother with a good smiling face. You meet them with a pleasant face. So that is also an act of charity, meeting somebody with a pleasant face, not being reserved. And this is all part of adab, inshallah. So this is adab, and this is what adab means, the plural of which is adab. And inshallah, this is just a kind of small introduction that I had today. And inshallah, tomorrow as well, I'll carry on slightly a bit more, talk about this aspect of the introduction before I start the book, and maybe we will start the book tomorrow, because I don't want to go along too much, go on with the introduction too much. But inshallah, I will slightly discuss a few more issues, maybe for about half an hour, and then we will start the book, which is meant Adab al-Islam, inshallah, tomorrow. Today in Leicester, iftar is 7:53, I believe. So let me just make sure. Different places. Next time is more or less very similar, yeah? Maybe a couple of minutes here and there. It's around 10 to 5 to 8, inshallah. So I am going to leave you. It's nearly 7:45. So you might have about 8 to 9 minutes before iftar, inshallah. So spend that time in making dua. And that's why, you know, last year I actually had a problem, because I've always been doing iftar programs, and I had a problem. As Mufti Ibrahim will let me tell you as well here. And the year before, I used to have he knows from the year before. And last year as well, I used to have a problem. I used to always overdo. I used to overgo iftar. It's like people are falling in. They're still yapping away and talking away. And, you know, there's 3 minutes already gone iftar. So at this time, I've made a resolution. Firm resolution to stop early so that you can make dua and I can make dua before iftar. Spend these last 5, 7, 8 minutes in making dua to Allah, because you see, one of the times when dua is greatly accepted is the time of iftar. Dua before iftar is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, that dua is accepted which is heartfelt, from the depth of one's heart, with a lot of devotion, a lot of khushu', a lot of khudu'. And so, inshallah, you know, spend some time making dua, istighfar, asking Allah for one's needs, for your parents, for your children, for your spouses, for your relatives, for all the Muslims, and for everyone, inshallah, for all your needs. So, till tomorrow, I'll be back here at 6:30, Inshallah, 6:30, I will talk about this topic, and till tomorrow, I say, JazakAllah khair, thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.